Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
In Nashville at 9 o'clock.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You. This week, a community show featuring the citizens and denizens of Juneau, Alaska.
Does that include a pit bull and lipstick? Right here.
What kind of people will we find here? To what standards will they hold our humble little endeavor? You're almost there.
Well, that means we get some points. Why don't we just
right.
quit?
Yeah. We're okay. We're okay not being perfect.
Will these brave Alaskans rise to the occasion? Will they amuse and intellectually astound? Will they create moments never before heard on Says You?
The worst 10 points I've ever given in my life.
See what happens when Says You comes to Juneau. Next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. President Obama is expected to announce tomorrow a plan to change the tax law to ensure that wealthier Americans pay at least the same percentage as middle-income taxpayers. He's reportedly going to call it the Buffett Rule after Warren Buffett. The billionaire investor wrote in a New York Times op-ed last month that he and his rich friends have been what he called coddled long enough by a billionaire-friendly Congress. Buffett has long noted that he pays taxes at a lower rate than his secretary. Rebels in Libya now control most of the country, including the capital, Tripoli. But NPR's Corey Flintoff reports the battle drags on in the last remaining strongholds of former leader Muammar Gaddafi.
It's really hard to tell how long the fighting may go on for Sirte and Bani Walid. For one thing, we really don't know very much about the loyalist strength in those places. The only thing that we've heard is from families who fled, particularly from Bani Walid, and some things, some quotes I've seen from them and some people that we've talked to say that the loyalists are really very strong and very well dug in those places. They have a lot of weapons still and a lot of supplies, so they could conceivably carry on for a long time.
NPR's Corey Flintoff reporting from Tripoli. As for the whereabouts of Gaddafi, his spokesman told Reuters the ousted leader is still in Libya, encouraging his loyalists to fight on. Hundreds of angry villagers are protesting a solar panel plant in East China, claiming it's polluting a river and killing fish. NPR's Frank Langford reports the demonstrations are the latest in a long-running battle in China over industrial-fueled growth and its costs.
On Thursday, protesters overran the compound of the Jinko Solar Factory in East China's Zhejiang Province, according to Xinhua, China's state news service. Demonstrators flipped 8 vehicles, smashed windows, and trashed offices before police ran them off. The protesters are demanding an explanation for the widespread death of fish last month in a nearby river. The local Environmental Protection Bureau says the factory's disposal system has failed pollution tests for months. Jinko Solar has not issued a statement on the conflict. The company maintains its global sales office in Shanghai and is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Over the years, Chinese people have become much more aggressive towards polluting factories, staging large protests and demanding shutdowns. Frank Langford, NPR News, Shanghai.
Representatives from North Korea and South Korea are expected to meet in Beijing this week to discuss restarting the nuclear disarmament talks. North Korea walked away from the six-nation negotiations more than 2 years ago. The talks are aimed at persuading North Korea to abandon its nuclear weapons program. Senior U.S. and European officials are to meet today in New York to try to find a way to restart the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. This is NPR News from Washington. Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou was scheduled to be in New York today for meetings with the U.N. Secretary General and the new head of the International Monetary Fund this week. He got as far as London and decided to turn around and go home to deal with a deepening financial crisis. His finance minister said the change of plans does not signal that Greece is about to default. The former IMF head Dominique Strauss-Kahn will speak to the French tonight on national television. Eleanor Beardsley reports the interview on the nightly news will be the first time Strauss-Kahn speaks publicly about his arrest in New York on sexual assault charges last May.
Strauss-Kahn is expected to explain to the French people what happened in New York. Until now, no one has ever heard his side of events. On May 14th, Strauss-Kahn, who was then director of the International Monetary Fund, was arrested for assaulting a New York hotel housekeeper. The charges were later dropped because of doubts about the housekeeper's truthfulness, though forensic tests showed a sexual encounter did take place. A poll out today shows the French are still divided over Strauss-Kahn. 53% say they hope he will announce his complete withdrawal from politics, but 63% of the French still hope he will offer advice on steering the country through the economic crisis. Strauss-Kahn still faces a criminal probe in France from a young writer who says he tried to rape her in 2003. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Paris.
The United Nations is seeking $365 million to help millions of Pakistanis affected by floods. Officials say more than 5 million people need help after the floods triggered by heavy monsoon rains. They say more people are vulnerable this year because they're still recovering from last year's floods, which were considered the worst in the country's history. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Skoll Foundation, supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems at skoll.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for the following Alaskan edition of Says You comes from the good folks at KTOO in Juneau, Alaska.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
From the stage of Centennial Hall in Juneau, Alaska, welcome to Zanakahini, the place where flounder gather. For Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Natural resources consultant, conservation guru, falconer, a man who's green to the gills, Mr. Ron Clark. A dedicated public servant who's worked for three governors, a mayor, and a state legislator, none of whom are here tonight to cheer him on, Larry Pursley. And educator, communicator, daughter of a game warden, and the first Alaskan I've actually heard say, you know, you've seen one glacier, you've seen them all, Miss Lori Scandling. And who steps up to be captain this week?
Ron Clark is our captain for the first game.
The short straw is right here. I've got it.
Ron Clark will be the captain. To my left, team two, he's a Renaissance man, a performer, and a member of the Church of a Thousand Trees, Mr. Benjamin Brown. Okay. She is a big-time Alaskan mover and shaker, who spent the last half hour bumping with my son, Kathy Wasserman. And he's worked with governors and senators, hauled 50 tons of salmon, just won the legislative three-gun shoot, and never fails to mention that he has two pugs, Mr. Jesse Keel. And who's going to step up this week?
I'm afraid I've taken the short straw as well, and I'll be happy to be the captain for team right.
Ben Brown.
Far right.
Air quotes.
Way right.
Way right.
Small town, a lot of behind-the-scenes humor, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not behind the scenes.
Ben Brown will be the captain. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, grab a pen and paper. Okay. Let's begin. What would a trip to Juneau be without an Alaskan round of silly statutes? I see you've been listening, yes. From the linguistic clues provided, please tell me why Alaskan justice feels outraged in the face of the following felonious endeavors. Ben,
Image capture of Ursine REM disruption is a serious no-no up here. What has the state legislature precluded?
Well, image capture of Ursine REM disruption would probably be taking pictures of bears while they were sleeping. Once that flash goes off, you're pretty much saying, I'm lunch.
You know something? He's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen, but I just realized something. We have no bell. Fortunately, we don't have a bell, but we do have 600 people out there, I think, capable of saying ding.
Ding!
10 points for Ben Brown. And if anybody can find a bell out there, you'll let me know. Oh, wait, look at this. There we go. Not only one, but two bells, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. Somewhere in there, I think Ben scored 10 points, right? Thank you. Try this one, Larry. Around here, forcible alsus-alsus aerial defenestration is totally verboten. What legislative landmark tells me so?
Could I get sports for 20 instead?
You're going to have to work on this one, boy.
Could you
forcible alsus-alsus, A-L-C-E-S, A-L-C-E-S, aerial defenestration is verboten. What do you think this could be about? Ooh, they're rumbling out there.
Ron? Moose?
Moose.
What about moose?
Aerial moose hunting.
Aerial moose
shooting
hunting.
Shooting the same day you're in an airplane.
Well, you know, you're getting there. You know about the moose. How'd you know?
Defenestration.
Yes.
That's like throwing a moose out of the window of a moving airplane.
No, I think it's like fenestration.
He's closer than you know.
Yeah. We're okay not being perfect.
Right. In fact, we've talked about this before the show.
Yes, that's true. All right. What do you think? 8 points? 8 points. Any thoughts from the other side?
Well, I think, Richard, that you can't drop a moose out of an airplane.
That's exactly right.
Oh,
that's
definitely.
Exactly right. What kind of problem precipitated
the moose,
this?
Could it be the moose dropping festival in Talkeetna that was misunderstood by its nomenclature?
Yeah.
Where they mistook the fact that moose weren't actually being dropped? I remember seeing that a few years ago.
I predicted the moose dropping thing to my wife last night, just before we taped this, yes, but that's actually what it is. It's illegal. It's considered an offense to push a live moose out of a moving airplane.
But you said live moose. Can you push a dead moose out of an airplane?
I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
Because why would you want a dead moose in the airplane? I can't understand. All right.
And I think the guy in 23E that I sat next to last week suffices.
He's in the audience tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Row 4. Oh, boy.
If you're out there, we'll talk later.
Try this one, Kathy.
Okay.
Urban perambulation must be unencumbered by medieval weaponry. By what statute?
AS 2436-030E. Woohoo! You can't throw swords down a toilet.
I think that's good advice, but that's not where we're going.
Well, Pelican, you were the mayor of Pelican, had a very sensitive sewer system, so swords were verboten there.
I think this is sewer's folly here. I really do.
I give you 10 points for that one.
Where's that bell?
Richard, are we on specific medieval weapons or just generally?
No, specific. Urban perambulation must be unencumbered by medieval weaponry.
No swords in city limits?
You're getting there. It's not swords.
Daggers?
Not daggers either.
Knives?
It is illegal to hunt with a crossbow in a municipal area.
Well, you know what? That's pretty close. I think I'm going to give you 8 points for that one. Just so you all know, one may not roam the city with a bow and arrow.
Oh.
You can't...
That's a surprise to us.
Except in Petersburg.
I hope Mayor Botello is here. Take note.
That was kind of a frightening response, actually. This is my absolute favorite, Lori. Save this one for you. Often pincher elutriation is parochially eschewed. By what mandate?
Could you define mandate?
Yeah.
Is it an unfunded mandate?
I don't know.
So we're not cooperating. It's like NCLB.
Often pincher elutriation is parochially eschewed. By what mandate?
No. The often pincher?
A-F-F-E-N-P-I-N-C-H-E-R. Often
just how it sounds.
Yes.
That helps.
That helps. Yeah. Thank you.
It's
the
a dog,
often
isn't
pincher.
It?
No dogs in churches.
Oh, no. That's the elutriation. I never heard this word before, but I loved it when I found it.
Elutriation.
Often pincher elutriation is parochially eschewed.
Does this have anything
where
to do
go
with
to the bathroom?
It is not about where they go to the bathroom.
Oh, well, that would have
You can't groom your dog in the church?
Parochial.
You know what? You can't groom your dog in Juno. 10 points.
Ooh.
Dog grooming is illegal in Juno.
And it's a darn good thing.
Does that include a pit bull and lipstick?
And I think now that we're ahead, we're going to quit.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Try this one, Jesse. Artemisian endeavor should be free from surreptitious suggestivity. What law so states? Artemisian endeavor. A-R-T-E-M-I-S-E-A-N. One of Sezhu's specialized made-up words. Artemisian endeavor should be free from surreptitious suggestivity.
Artemis. I'm working from surreptitious suggestivity.
Yeah.
It almost sounds as though you can't put subliminal ads in the movie theater.
Popcorn,
they flash
popcorn,
that popcorn,
popcorn,
popcorn. Every 15th frame.
No, Artemis is the clue here.
The hunter. Using arrows. Diana was her Roman name.
Exactly.
That's illegal in Juno.
Okay, let's just hypothetical. Let's pretend we're on Admiralty Island.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking, Lori's father was the game guide, but I'm thinking as fast as I can here. You can't bait most animals when you hunt them. Secret baiting? No. How about electronic calls? You can't use an electronic game call.
You can't wear bacon earrings. Not allowed.
Even Ben.
Thank you, Ben. They're Trey.
You're getting there. At least you got the Artemisian endeavor is hunting. That's true. I'm going to give you, what do you think, 6 points. 6 points for that. I think that's fair. Any help from the other side on this?
Why would we want to help them?
That's true. Of course, that's true.
Why would we want to help you?
I'm up here alone. I get that.
I think it means you can't go hunting when you're topless.
I hope that's true, but that's not this particular statute.
Perfectly legal, Lori.
Yeah. It is illegal to whisper in someone's ear while they're moose hunting.
Oh, well, that's totally understandable.
Once again, what was the problem?
Obviously, he hasn't been around long enough, yeah. Huh, guys?
And this one, Ron, I just couldn't believe this, but I'm giving it to you anyway. In Haines, legislative redundancy seems to have hit an all-time high. Legislative redundancy seems to have hit an all-time high. What statute confirms this?
Gentlemen prefer Haines.
It's true.
I know that for a fact.
I think he's boxing us into a brief answer.
Legislative redundancy?
It's the most legislatively redundant thing I've ever heard in my life. I'll give you points for just about anything.
That's good.
A law that requires they pass laws.
You know something? Close enough. Close enough. In Haines, it is illegal to break the law.
We're not going there anymore.
It's also illegal to conceal a felony, but if you did it, how would they know?
Exactly. Yes, the Alaska legislature, hard at work, ladies and gentlemen. Hard at work. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little help from the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band. It's the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. Ben, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one will have the actual definition. The other two will have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Ron's team. 10 points up for grabs to Ron if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Ben, if he can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word Mutchkin. M-U-T-C-H-K-I-N. Mutchkin. Folks? Weather's like first week in January in Charlotte, North Carolina, because that's when Says You heads to the middle of Mecklenburg for Charlotte Rambling, live performances of Says You. Tickets, information, and details are available at SaysYou.net. That's SaysYou. Or if you follow that Join the Fun link, good things are just bound to happen. So remember, if you live near a family of Tar Heels and your sister love Says You, you gotta ask yourself, is it too early to start thinking Christmas? Says You returns after this from home.
Listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Support for Says You on WPLN, made possible in part by listener members. Support the programming you value on Nashville Public Radio with a pledge today. You'll be entered in a drawing for a 9-day tour of England, Scotland, and Wales for two. Pledge now at WPLN.org. That drawing will be held Friday, September 23rd. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, with partly sunny skies in Nashville and the high in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 68 degrees in Nashville at 23 minutes after 9.
To Seattle and Port Townsend, Washington, November 11th, 12th, and 13th. Tickets are going fast for missed opportunities with the Puget performances of Says You. On November 11th and 12th, we invade Town Hall for two shows,
Then on November 13th, it's a community says you, like the one you're hearing now in Port Townsend. Tickets, information, and details available, of course, at saysyou.net. S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. Remember, that's November 11th and 12th in Seattle's Town Hall, and November 13th, a community says you in Port Townsend. See you on the sound for Says You. That is the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band. That's Jeremy Kane on the banjo, Andrew Heist on the mandolin, Allison Mapes on guitar, and Amanda Chisholm on the bass fiddle. Thank you very much, guys. Excuse me a minute to thank our scorekeepers. Let's put our hands together for Mr. Finn Sinclair and Mr. Benjamin Scherr. Thanks, guys, for keeping the score. We have had a few moments with the word Muchkin. We will go first to Mr. Benjamin Brown.
Thank you, Richard. I have the real definition. I do. It's an English, an imperial pint, an English imperial pint of any liquid. I'm sounding thirsty. I know I'm sounding thirsty, but yeah.
Be nice to have a Muchkin right now, just a short Muchkin.
Yum.
Imperial pint of liquid is a Muchkin. Could be that. Or it could be something else. Kathy, what say you?
Well, for all of you who put up with OPC, I had to think about it, other people's children, when they're given everything they want, you know how tiring that can be, they're just given way too much, and those are Muchkins. we've all been around them. I've got some in my house right now. I hope they're not listening to this.
A child who's given much too much.
Much too much. Spoiled little brat.
That's just a Muchkin. Mm-hmm. Sounds logical, doesn't it? But it could be yet another alternative. What say you, Jesse?
It's fascinating. It's a very simple definition. It says that it's any food served with bread.
Any food served with bread. Butter is a Muchkin.
Or crab dip.
Crab dip is a Muchkin.
You're in Alaska.
Water. Yeah.
Any food served with bread is a Muchkin. It is either that, could be a child who just has much too much, or it could be that old English imperial pint. It is one of those three, and the choice, Ron, is yours.
I think the pint.
We've promised lots of Muchkins to the scorekeepers here after the show, so I think it's Ben, too.
Looks like we're leaning towards the imperial pint.
You're leaning toward the imperial pint. Any particular reason?
We're leaning to the right answer.
You're leaning to the right answer. They are convinced, Benjamin, that a Muchkin is an English imperial pint. Is that, in fact, what it is?
I don't know how many pints they had before, but it was just the right amount because, indeed, it is an English imperial pint.
10 points for Ron's team. Let's go on to round three. What's the difference? Ben, what's the difference between adroit and adept?
Adept means, I mean, you're both to something. Ad being to is the prefix in Latin. Mm-hmm. Adduction, adopt, right? A-D.
Ad nauseum. Oh.
Ad nauseum. More water for Ron.
Well, I think to be adept is to be capable in a general sense. Doesn't adroit...
You're adroit the point. Adroit, I mean, well, droit is right in French.
Doesn't it imply physical dexterity?
Adroit and adept.
I think you should listen to Jesse. Okay. Because he's right.
Okay.
10 points. Very good. Adept simply means very skilled, proficient. But adroit is skillful or nimble in the use of the hands or the body. It is much more physical. Very good. Try this one, Larry. What's the difference between being practical and being pragmatic?
Practical and pragmatic?
Yep.
pragmatic is like more realistic. It's a state of mind.
Yes, it is.
And practical, useful, doable. You have a skill, doable.
Well, if you're being practical, how would you categorize that kind of activity? If you're being practical as opposed to being pragmatic, what's the difference?
I think you could have been more pragmatic in picking six people who weren't like spending their lives in government and politics to ask you.
What would be really practical is if the people in the front row who are whispering just speak up a little. That'd be really practical.
That's closer than you realize. Yes, that's. I'm going to give you 7 points. That's any help from the other side? Anyone want to chime in on this?
Pragmatic is immediately task-oriented. Practical is, I think, a more general concept. Being practical is just trying to prioritize tasks and activities in the way that you're going to get the most stuff done in the shortest amount of time.
You know, that's a long way there. Let me say what the dictionary...
Huge surprise.
It's
he gets
true.
Paid by the hour.
Yeah.
You could be
by the Latin word.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are practical, you are acting based on your experience gained by actual practice rather than theory. That's practice. You know, I'm being practical because I know this is the right thing to do. If you're being pragmatic, you are acting based on the conditions and the facts surrounding you, whether or not your experience tells you differently.
Very
so
good.
That's ooh.
Well, we've all learned something now, haven't we?
What do you know?
Many people come to mind.
Try this one, Kathy. What's the difference between discomfort and discomfit? Discomfort and discomfit.
Discomfit is when, or discomfit,
yes.
Or however you want to say it, whatever side of the nation you're from.
Right, I was trying to emphasize
okay.
it.
Okay, discomfit is when you have like a rock in your shoe. Discomfort is when the stay in your bra has snapped.
The worst 10 points I've ever given in my life. But I had to do it. Anyone want to give a shot at this? I think we all know what discomfort is.
Discomfort is that unsettled.
Inflicting discomfort on something?
Discomfort is to confuse or generally frustrate the plans of, to thwart. And that's
so
the
it's
difference.
It's a transitive verb. So you have to discomfort someone specifically.
Yes. Well,
you can't just discomfort the whole world. I mean, yeah. I probably have, but I mean, you really can't.
No, that's...
generally.
Just the whole town, Ben.
We done here, or can we... No, we're done here, I think. All right. Just because that was so rotten, let's try this one, Laurie. What's the difference between digitization and digitalization?
Whoa.
Digitization and digitalization.
Well, digitization has to mean turn it into numbers.
That is right, actually. Okay. To convert data to digital form
right.
for
so
use in a computer.
Digitalization.
Counting those numbers on your fingers.
Thanks to your annual exam. Yeah. Well, it's when you go to being digital.
That's right.
Where data goes digital.
That's right. It's converting the whole lot. That's right.
Right.
Thank
give
you.
Them, it's electronics.
Give them, what do you think, 8 points?
Nine.
Generous. There was an uprising there over a single point.
Wait,
give
we're
them.
Gonna, we're going to convert it to digitalization. We're
okay.
To
that's
nine.
That's 9 points they get for that.
Thank
so.
You.
Try this one, Jesse. What's the difference between ordinance, O-R-D-N-A-N-C-E, and ordinance, O-R-D-I-N-A-N-C-E?
You protest.
That's too easy.
One explodes.
One does explode. And the other?
Well, the other can make you liable for a misdemeanor crime in the city and borough of Juneau because it's been passed by our assembly.
That's exactly right. 10 points. Whoa. Big value.
Sometimes they explode.
An ordinance is an authoritative rule or law, decree. Ordnance means military weapons and their equipment, ammunition, etc. Very good. Thank you.
Let's hear it for weaponry. Yeah.
medieval weaponry.
Second Amendment. And finally, Ron, and we're going to get a lot of mail on this, so we'll be kind of generous, but this is something that we've been thinking about for some time. What's the difference between mandatory and compulsory? Ooh, another ooh.
Mandatory is unfunded.
Mandatory and compulsory.
Mandatory.
So compulsory would be, I think, like in Netherlands or Israel, it's military service
something
is
required.
Compulsory.
Right, it's required.
Automatically required.
They always have, you know, in skating competitions, they have the compulsories that you never watch.
Right.
And then they do the free form
well,
and fall.
Maybe you don't.
Right, they're required, they're prerequisites.
They're prerequisites.
That's, you know what? I'm going to give you 10 points
because
I think you know. That was exactly the way to go. Mandatory means authoritatively ordered, of course, offering no option. Compulsory also means obligatory, but also carries the sense that something must be completed before something else can occur. That's 10 points. Very good. This week's Spotlight Round comes at the behest of Charlie Baxter of Houston, Texas, who hears us courtesy our friends at KUHF in Houston. Charlie writes, I started listening to your program in college, and I remember sitting in the dorm one night listening to these people simply define words like literal, L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L. Well, I've been listening ever since, and I attribute my allegiance to that one round of definitions that I haven't heard since. How about that for a spotlight round? That was a hard one to find, Charlie. Took us back to season two. 'Twas there we found our original cast contesting a round of vocabulario muscle. Let's begin this week with a test of vocabulario muscle. Take it strong to the hoop, kids. Carolyn?
Yes.
Cynosure. C-Y-N-O-S-U-R-E.
The root of it comes from the dog star, somehow. I mean, I'm remembering what the page of the dictionary looks like. Cynosure? Oops.
Yeah, C-Y-N-O-S-U-R-E. Any help from that side?
C-Y-N-S-U-R-E.
It has... It's someone's specialty or niche or responsibility or
really
area of
expertise,
authority.
Not really. No. I got to go to the other side.
Well, it means the center of attention.
That's exactly what it means.
I think you were thinking about Sino as in Chinese studies, like China once thought of itself very highly. It was Sino-sure, but no longer.
Sure.
And now. Totally different.
Nah.
Less sure.
Sino-sure is one that attracts a center of attraction or interest.
So could I pass then? Did I earn an opportunity to not have to answer this one?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you're stuck.
I'm stuck.
You are now stuck with ergonomics.
Ergonomics.
E-R-G-O.
Comes from the Latin ergo, meaning chair, and nomics, meaning sit-in. It is the it's the study of what is comfortable. How to design to actually meet a person's real physical comfort needs, and at the same time,
that's 10
keep
points.
Them good
very
shape.
Good.
I did a story on ergonomics once years ago, and I learned that it can also apply to things like the shape of deodorant bottles.
Cool.
You would be amazed. I take the shape of my deodorant bottle for granted, but there were for my deodorant bottle there were 1,000 rejected shapes that did not fit the hand as comfortably as it could under the pit.
Oh, my
Thanks
goodness.
For sharing.
Right. It can apply to more than one chair. Ergo.
Obviously not a can user.
Arnie, literal, L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L, literal.
Yeah.
That's a cat box. It has to be a cat box.
That's the opposite of guttural.
Literal.
L-I-T-T-O-R-A-L.
No,
I have seen this word 1,000 times.
Not much, Arnie, not much.
Well, I'm on the wrong team.
No help from that side.
I mean, they're close to the refuse part in that it comes from the Latin word litor, which means shore, and most of the refuse washes up on the shore.
Washed by the shore.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
They would have gotten another 10 points
category.
For that.
It's the literal area of the state
it
over
is.
By the seashore.
Of or pertaining to the shore, existing, taking place upon, or adjacent to the shore. Literal. Very nice. Francine, foment, F-O-M-E-N-T.
Why do they get all the good ones?
Yeah.
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 foment means to generate, to foment argument, to foment discord.
Yes.
Well, it's sort of like the slow cook version. Rather than the flash, you know, a microwave, create a problem. Foment, you take time, you stir it up.
Yes, you do. You rouse, you incite, you encourage, or you instigate. But the time factor...
Necessarily trouble?
I don't know. Can you foment happiness?
Can you foment happiness?
Yeah.
Audience, can you foment happiness? Not usually used that way.
Can we foment laughter, I think, is
the... Doesn't it always have a negative connotation?
Yeah. It seems to. It seems to.
Miss Lyons, see if you can help that side out with pusillanimous.
Oh.
P-U-S-I-L-L-A-N-I-M-O-U-S. Yeah. Pusillanimous.
Pusillanimous. I think it's just simply argumentative. Pusillanimous.
Not really.
Looking for a fight.
Looking for a fight. Picking a fight. Maybe it's instigating a fight. Could it be that instigation word again?
Pusillage. It's a pusillage specialist.
Pusillage. It really isn't. It has a different meaning.
It really brings to mind the Shakespearean image of the fawning dog that licks the candied hand.
The what?
The fawning dog that licks the candied hand. Pusillanimous is kind of servile, brown-nosing,
cowardly,
whiny, spineless.
Yes. Exactly.
Really?
This side is
rotten. This side has read the dictionary for the past week.
Cover to cover.
I was only working on the P's.
A boy lacking in courage and strength of mind, faint-hearted, mean-spirited, and cowardly. Very good. That's
oh,
a,
gosh.
Barry, see how you do with syllogism. S-Y-L-L-O-G-I-S-M. And the other side is complaining bitterly.
Well, if you think it's so easy, you take it. a syllogism is basically to define a term by using the term, isn't it?
It's a philosophical construction. Actually, it's a state of ecstasy reached by a philosopher when he has a syllogism.
Yeah, that's right.
You can edit around that. I'm sure. But a syllogism is, if something is that, then that second thing must be a third thing. Since I never think in those terms, I can't give you an example.
You know, he's
if
right.
If all A's are B's and all B's are C's, then all A's are C's.
Then all A's are C's.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
10 points. Very good. Yeah. It's an argument expressed in the form of two propositions, each called a premise, containing a common or middle term, with a third proposition called the conclusion, resulting necessarily from the two. Now, did anybody understand that?
I think the best use of it is, if I'm such an idiot, why did you marry me?
Yeah.
What does that make you?
It's certainly better than the example I had in mind.
Apparently, many people can relate to that. Syllogism.
Proposition one, I hate liver. Proposition two, we're having liver for dinner tonight. Conclusion, that's going to be one fat dog one of these days. That's our spotlight round for this week. If there's a memorable moment you haven't heard in years, let us know. We'll send our crack staff into the archives and do our best to find your favorite. You can register your choice at saysyou.net. That's SAYSYOU. That's our look back. Now, back to the present. Let's go on to round four, which is Ron's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Ben, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word agelast. A-G-E-L-A-S-T. Agelast. Folks? I'm sure you remember that Says You's coming to Charlotte, North Carolina this January.
And that tickets are selling like reduced fat pumpkin cream cheese muffins for November in Seattle. And you know how to find the tickets. They're at SaysYou.net. SaysYou. So whether you're in Seattle, Washington in mid-November, or Charlotte, North Carolina, the first weekend in January, Says You will be there to meet you. Briefly, Says You pauses, just long enough for a few interstitial announcements. We'll be right back.
I'm Krista Tippett. Next time on Being, a Palestinian philosopher whose family has lived in Jerusalem for 1,300 years. To a new moment of Middle Eastern tumult, Sari Nusseibeh brings perspective, a vision of caution and hope planted in a long view of Arab and Palestinian history, culture, and time. Please join me for a new show from Israel and the West Bank from APM.
Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Hi there, I'm Gian Gomeshi. Two Door Cinema Club is a young band from Northern Ireland whose debut album, Tourist History, won them a broad fan base and Ireland's Choice Music Prize for Album of the Year. Two Door Cinema Club in conversation and performance coming up on Q from PRI, Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 10 o'clock.
You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio. Coming up in about 14 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. At 11 o'clock, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now, the time is 9:46. It's 70 degrees in Nashville.
You can hear Says You again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at SaysYou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high quality copies available. That is the Great Alaska Bluegrass Band. Thanks, folks, for giving us a little time with the word agilast. We will go first to a puzzled-looking Larry Persily.
This is a condition among many in Washington, D.C., who watch Congress. Mm-hmm. It is someone who never laughs.
Someone who never laughs, yes, is an agilast?
Yes. It's a condition in common in Washington, D.C., among congressional staffers, okay, lobbyists. No humor.
No humor. Someone who never laughs is an agilast. Could be that. Could be something else. Lori, what do you think?
An agilast is the aura created when a light is refracted through fog, appearing as a nimbus. Richard has no idea why you're laughing.
But I'm going to write it down anyway. The aura, when light is refracted through fog, and there's something nimble about all that.
Appearing that is, as a nimbus.
Appearing
when you
as
try
nimbus.
To land in Juneau,
yeah, okay,
and the runway lights look like little halos.
Ah, that's the agilast. It
is.
Could be that. Not likely, but it could be that.
Wait. We filed
You're
a protest.
Cheating.
It could be that. Who knows? Or it could be something else. Ron, what do you say?
Well, being a good son of Norway, I've known this one for years. It's a Norwegian dessert featuring Jell-O and tiny little quartz deposits mixed up. No.
tiny little what?
Yeah, pass the agilast.
Yes. No, it's, they're real good for the digestion.
You don't want to pass one of those.
No,
it hurts you don't want to pass the agilast.
Only the Norwegians could make it. Yeah, yeah, I understand that.
Actually, what it is, it's the form on which a glove, whether it's leather or fabric, is constructed and sewn.
A form on which a glove is made is called the agilast. It could be that. It could be that nimble thing we were talking about earlier. Or it's someone who never laughs. It's one of those three, and the choice, Ben, is yours.
Well, it's ours, first of all. I want to share this liability right now.
Oh, yes.
Jack be nimbus, Jack be quick. Jack go on the nimbus stick. I don't know. This is just not working for me. I love Laurie Scandling, but that's not working for me. The no laughing makes me sad. Doesn't it make you all sad that someone could just never laugh? Yes? Yes, so that's hopefully that's not it. And what's the third thing, a glove?
The form on which a glove is made.
Kathy, Jesse, does Ron's definition fit like a glove?
The people who don't laugh who watch Congress have other names. And that's not one of them.
And you're kind of going no further than that with that
yes.
joke.
I guess I'm inclined to... I mean, it sort of sounds like the last of a shoe. I'd work in leather. I'd go with the glove form.
Hand. It's kind of an OJ thing. Hand.
Yep.
OJ.
I'm down with you guys. Let's go with... We're going to go with Mr. Ronald
OJ
Clark's.
Was an agilast.
The agilast is the agilast. Thing upon which
Sorry.
A glove is made.
Yes.
Ron, they are unanimous. They think that an agilast... is a form upon which a glove is made. Is that, in fact, what it is?
Agilast, please fake a definition.
Nice work.
That was a bluff.
Ouch.
All right, audience, your turn. You got a 50-50 shot. What do you think? How many say the nimbus? How many say somebody who never laughs? Whoa, I don't know. Laurie, I think they're going for the nimbus on this one. Is that, in fact, what agilast means?
Not at all.
Not at all. Because it actually is.
It is someone who never laughs, and you picked the cynic to get this one.
There you go. 10 points for Ron's team. Let's go on to round five. Let's close tonight with a round of originally titled. The following are all original titles of books. For 10 points, please give me the title of the movie directly adopted from each. For an example, Everybody Comes to Rick's became, of course,
Casablanca.
So we know where we're going with this. Let's give it a shot. Try this one, Ben. The Tin Star.
The Teen Star?
No, the Tin, T-I-N Star.
The Tin Star.
A John W. Cunningham classic.
The Tin Star. Kathy, Jesse, feel free to help me out here.
Could be any number of spaghetti westerns, couldn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
Wyatt Earp.
Oh, what a great guess. No, so I'll give you another shot at it.
The good, the bad, the ugly. I don't know. I'm not.
It's a classic.
We're classically flummoxed.
I don't think they're going to get it.
We're all too young.
They're all too young. I guess that's true. We go to the older people on the other side.
Yeah.
That's more
old
mature.
Age and treachery will always work out. Yeah. High noon.
High noon is exactly right. High noon. Five points for that sign. Try this one, Larry. The Death and Life of Dith Prawn.
Killing Fields?
Cambodia.
I'm sorry?
Killing Fields?
The Killing Fields is exactly right. 10 points. Very good.
I'm just fixing the score here.
I think he's getting the answers from the kids.
Try this one, Kathy. Revolt in the Desert.
The English Patient.
It is not. Oh, brutal. Not The English Patient. Revolt in the Desert.
Oh, Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh! Lawrence of Arabia is exactly right. Good job. Can't give you 10 points second guess, 8 points for that. Try this one, Lori. Heart of Darkness. Ooch. Is that that easy?
Yes.
Heart of Darkness?
Apocalypse Now.
Apocalypse Now is right, Joseph Conrad. It's actually kind of loosely based, but it is Apocalypse Now, that's true. All right, then let's get it. You think that's too easy? We'll go to the harder ones. Try this one, Jesse.
What did he do? Wait a minute. I'm sorry. That's just, anyhow.
It's good to get your revenge on Lori with our team. That's excellent.
No, well,
I love the smell.
You like how I do that? That's how I do that. Try this one, Jesse. Oil.
That wouldn't be a Daniel Day-Lewis movie, would it?
It sure would.
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood. He got the hard one. Ron, try this one. Push. I think this is one of those ones you either know or you don't. And evidently, he does not know it, ladies and gentlemen.
Was this the one that just came out? Is Precious?
Something about Lamaze?
Let's get Cheryl up here.
Three men and a baby.
Three men and a baby? Yeah, Precious.
Precious is exactly right. 10 points. That was a wonderful close on your part, Lori, and it resulted in a three-figure score. 104 Woo! Points for this week's winners, Ron Clark's team. Congratulations. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Darren Peterson at Centennial Hall and to Cheryl Levitt, Jeff Brown, and all the folks at K2 here in Juneau, Alaska. Richard Scherr did the writing. Albert McDonald and Betsy Sims man the meters. And Zach Moore is our associate producer and webmaster. From the web this week, you know you're from Alaska. If you know which leaves make the best toilet paper. And if you don't wash your car anymore because the dirt's the only thing that's holding it together in the first place. Thanks for the life lessons, Juno. See you next week.
Support for the Alaskan edition of Says You comes from the good folks at KTOO in Juneau. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You, created and produced by Pippin and Finch. Boston.
Every fall, public radio gets together to discuss public radio. I always say I go to the convention to see six people I like, and then I go home. One of those people, Lois Bent, from Yellowstone Public Radio in Big Sky Country. There was that first year in Denver when I didn't know a soul, and she came up to me out of nowhere and said, "I just heard your show. What fun!" Then there was the time Lois, me, and two others got lost in the hotel in Cleveland. At one point, we came into the same room from four different directions. The only constant, Lois, in complete hysteria. I never missed seeing her until last year when she got sick. Then, last June, public radio in Montana, in fact all of us, lost a devoted and warm-hearted patron when Lois succumbed to cancer. This medium survives because of the dedication and effort of people like Lois Bent. It transcends when they have her heart. We're not quite sure how to get Lois a message these days, but if we could, we'd make sure to tell her how much she was loved by all of us and how much she'll be missed.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule for all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, will Europe pull together or come apart? We'll look at the stakes and consequences, plus the science of willpower, how to build it, what it can and cannot do. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
Nashville weather for today, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny skies, the high in the lower 80s. Right now it's 70 degrees in Nashville at 10 o'clock.